Brad Carson, who's been the Army's undersecretary for just over a year, speaks with an unmistakable air of pride for the organization he helps lead, but there are clearly some parts of the job he's found frustrating since he became the Army's top management official. To put it mildly, he's found the Army's bureaucracy to be somewhat unwieldy since he took the post.
My challenge is to create an institutional Army commensurate with the operational force. The operational force is great at planning. They move out and do things. The tactical acumen, the leadership of people in the field is incredible. The headquarters, by contrast, is not nearly as agile. It is not just arthritic, but so sclerotic at times, right, that blood is barely reaching the various appendages of the bureaucracy. And so how you get things done, how you make decisions, how you push things through as a leader rather than simply react to matters that rise up to you from the Council of Colonels and the one-star general officer meetings, the two-star general officer meetings, the three-star general officer meetings, by which time anything interesting has often been rounded off of the PowerPoint slides, and you're left with nothing to do but acquiesce in decisions that present no real alternatives to you. So how do you manage the Army in a better way?
For starters, Carson says, you can trim back some of the multiple layers of decision-making authorities that he says serve to limit the Pentagon's options and present its leaders with an overly distilled range of views from the field. So when former Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel ordered all the military services and defense agencies to cut their headquarters spending by 20%, Carson says the Army moved forward enthusiastically.
And we haven't just gone through and demanded people make arbitrary cuts. We have tried to reduce the number of echelons. There were in the headquarters, there are often 9 echelons between the chief and the secretary and the lowest level people. Sometimes you had SESs, or senior executives, people who are the equivalent of general officers at echelons 6 or 7, very far down in the organization where you wouldn't think a leader of that stature would otherwise be. We had spans of control, people who were managing 1 or 2 or 3 people, when Army regulations contemplates managing 10 to 12 at a minimum, and best practices in the corporate sector suggest 6 to 8. We have changed that to where now everyone in the headquarters, with a few exceptions, manages at least 8 people.
In the review it conducted to implement the 20% reduction, Carson says the Army also discovered that in far too many cases, its personnel structure and chain of command was muddied by the fact that military officers and civilians were reporting to other officials who did not outrank them. In fact, they held the exact same pay grade.
GS-15s reporting to GS-15s reported to GS-15s, or colonels to colonels to colonels. Things that put the entire planning of careers and information transmission on hold. And therefore, it is a belief of mine, and it comports with research from the business community, that every echelon a message is transmitted, you lose perhaps 10 or 15% of its fidelity. So you could imagine sending a message down to echelon 9 and having it chopped all the way back up, right? The noise to signal gets way out of balance.
Carson says the Army has taken other steps to strengthen the management role of its most senior officials. It's created its own version of DOD's Deputies Management Action Group, the process the Deputy Secretary of Defense uses to take a common management approach to a broad set of topics and where several previous decision-making committees are now consolidated into one group. And the Army Campaign Plan, a document the service has produced for 60 years, but that Carson says no one actually ever read, will be relaunched within the next few weeks under the title Army Vision.
It has existed. It was read by few, although people in the G357 and the G8 and others spent, you know, man years upon man years creating it. Right, we've completely revamped that, doing an Army Vision, which will be released in the next few weeks, trying to make strategic planning as vigorous at the headquarters as it is in our subordinate commands and out in the field. Real strategic planning, not simply one-to-end lists or like a discussion of the important questions, but a plan that deals with the real obstacles we face.
Many of those obstacles are budgetary ones. The Army's budget for this year is $120 billion compared to the $150 billion it was planning to execute in its 2015 budget just a few years ago. As a result, the service has had to make difficult decisions about where to spend the dollars it's not allocating to its personnel-heavy budget, leading to an acquisition portfolio that Carson described as skeletal.
The modernization, the research and development programs for the Army, right, don't have near enough funds for them. Over the next 5 years, we'll spend maybe $120 billion on modernization. The major drivers of that being aviation, being the network, air and missile defense, vehicles. But there's not enough to do all of these kinds of things. They're very expensive programs. And we have a challenge in thinking through how we prioritize among them, how we move into new programs that don't threaten to consume the entire budget. If we want a future fighting vehicle, for example, how you reconcile the cost of that with the other programs for the Abrams and the Strikers, not to mention other parts of the acquisition portfolio. So there's a real material problem in that respect.
That problem exists even under the budgets the Army is already planning for. The additional cuts that are part of current law beginning in 2016 and that defense officials are asking Congress to repeal would introduce a host of additional modernization problems over the long run, including by forcing the Army to break multi-year contracts. In the short term, Carson says, the biggest impacts would be to the readiness of the soldiers it's currently planning to deploy.
That is what we produce in the end, right? If you think of what the business of the U.S. Army is, it's ready, sustainable combat units. And so that $7 billion will affect readiness in a profound way. And that's not good for the country. At $7 billion for just this coming year, that's a big hit to us. So again, especially since we are down from what we expected a few years ago. But the operations and maintenance accounts are where it's easy to find money. And so readiness will be right the immediate casualty of sequestration.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.